A reading from the Gospel. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of grace.
Thanks be to God.
When I was younger, I sometimes wondered why Jesus didn't come in an age when we had cameras and video to record and view and prove what all he said and did in life and in death and in resurrection. Now I've grown older, old enough to live in an age when cameras are ubiquitous. In at least one hand of every person everywhere, including church. And now I know that just because one sees something doesn't mean they will believe it or should. We live in an age of fakes and deep fakes, and fake news, and fake news. And it raises a question for us all. How in the world are we to believe in good news? And even more in any age, when there is so much ugliness and the seeming triumph of evil, how are we to believe in Easter's message about the ultimate triumph of goodness? The truth is, there's no incontrovertible evidence I can offer that would prove Jesus's life or even his death, and certainly not his resurrection. There is no way to prove Jesus rose from the grave. The best I can do, the very best I can do, is to point to the power of an experience of a people claiming to be alive with the uprising spirit of God in Christ in them. When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the garden that first Easter Sunday morning, they thought that ugliness and evil had won out. They expected to find a sealed tomb. But then we are told something extraordinary happened. The earth shook, and the angel appeared, and the stone outside Jesus' grave began to roll itself away. The guards outside the tomb were stunned and froze with fear, like two Baptists seeing each other at the liquor store. They were scared stiff. Some of you are looking at one another. The angel told the Marys that they were to go back and to tell the other disciples, the men mostly and other women, that Jesus had risen from the grave and that he would meet them along the way. And they ran off to do just that, and Jesus met them out there while they were on their way. And when the guards finally unfroze, well, they ran off also telling those who had conspired to condemn and kill Jesus what it was that they had seen and heard. And that's when the state's propaganda machine got going. The resurrection really was fake news, they said. Jesus' disciples had stolen his body by cover of night. And so it was then, there were these two competing stories. One, the party line told by the leaders known for their lies and conspiracies and cover-ups. And the other, the story of two women and later some men, all followers of this man put to death by the power of the state, but now said to be alive by the power of God. Which one would you believe? Why? No one ever found the body. The authorities stuck to their same story. It was certainly the more reasonable story. And still there was this claim about Jesus being alive, and unbelievable as it was, there were these women and later men who made it seem more believable by the way they lived their lives. Clarence Jordan is one of my great heroes of faith. He and his wife Florence, along with another couple, Mabel and Martin England, co-founded together Koinonia Farm, an interracial fellowship in rural Georgia in the 1940s. Get that. An interracial fellowship in rural Georgia in the 1940s. For their efforts, they were bombed and boycotted, and the Jordans were thrown out of their Southern Baptist Convention church. Because of the boycott, they started a mail order business by which they sent peanuts to buyers in other states. Their slogan was, "Help us ship the nuts out of Georgia." Not only was Clarence Jordan a farmer, but he was also a man of deep Christian faith, with a PhD in New Testament Bible, and one of my favorite quotes of his inspired the sermon title this morning. It's about resurrection and what really has the power to prove it, if anything. He said this: the crowning evidence that Jesus lives is not a vacant grave, but a spirit-filled fellowship. Not a rolled away stone, but a carried away church. Beloved, I've seen the carried away church at work and at Witness this year. I'm thinking of the witness of all of those faithful Minnesota churches which stood up against ICE this winter, even to the point of some of their pastors and church people being arrested for their acts of resistance. They were brave. And I read where one of those Minnesota pastors said, "I see this moment, just like the great awakenings of the past in American history, where there was a new wave of religious awakening that intersected with social and political movements. I see this as being one of those times." So do I. And not only in Minnesota. I see it here in this church also. I saw it when a few women from this church heard about the inordinate number of deaths taking place in our county jail and started speaking up. The Tarrant County Jail was a sealed tomb, but these ladies shined their little lights into a dark place, bringing public attention to the neglect and abuse that was happening there. And after yet another horrible death, that of Anthony Johnson Jr. just a year ago, two guards got indicted for murder, and the county's chief jailer resigned almost overnight. And now, the jail deaths have slowed considerably, in no small part because, just like in the Bible, some women, well, they got carried away, and they got some of us men carried away also. I know of another church that's got carried away too. The church of, as they would say, up in Arkansas, my mother's people. A little Methodist congregation up in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas that was also the church of my dearly loved and now departed great Aunt Mary, whom I to this day affectionately refer to as the other Mary. Aunt Mary was a woman of deep faith who devoted her life to reading her little upper room devotional and praying for the saints in her church and clothing and feeding the poor in her community and visiting all of the shut-ins and generally loving everybody, and I do mean everybody, in that little town of Clinton, Arkansas, with kindness and with compassion and tender affection and unconditional acceptance and copious, copious volumes of cornbread casserole and sweet tea. And when I was a child, if you asked me why I believed in God and in Jesus, My first and best answer would have been, "My sweet and spirit-filled Aunt Mary." And I went to visit my cousins up in Clinton this past spring break, and I can tell you, Aunt Mary's spirit is still alive and well. The clothes closet is still going strong, and the little church just raised $200,000 to rehab its community center. And not only that, but the church also decided that it was going to stay united after its denomination split over same-sex relations. "We didn't even take a vote," one of my cousins told me. We're staying because we believe in loving everybody. And can a church in Tarrant County, Texas, say an amen to that? Not bad for a bunch of Methodists. Listen, I know that the church has done a lot of damage in its history, and it has made sometimes it hard to believe. Bad religion killed Jesus, and it still kills his witness. But still, there are people out there so alive with the love and power and presence of God that their witness cannot be altogether denied, and neither can it be ever destroyed. Rural 1940s Georgia, rural Arkansas, Tarrant County, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, United States of America, 2026, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is, beloved, an awakening, and there is an uprising, and it is the power of resurrection, and it is the promise of eternal life. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives within my heart and my soul and my church and my Aunt Mary and the other Mary and all of those other congregations up in Minnesota and everybody else everywhere who's ever been carried away by this good news that Jesus Christ really is risen, and that he is risen indeed. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one true God and mother of us all, and together all of God's resurrection people do say together, amen and amen.